Turn with me to Luke. If you need a Bible, there's a Bible in the back of the chair. You may take that. That's our gift to you. Take it and read it. It'll change your life. Luke and 24. Father, we just praise you for your word. Your word is truth. And Lord, it changes people's lives. And Christians base their faith on the risen Savior, yes, Jesus Christ, but also on the authority of your word. And Lord, thank you so much that we can have your word, that we can read it and grow closer to you. And Lord, I just pray for people here today that come and you brought them here for a reason and a purpose. I just pray that they are encouraged and in you, and they have hope. The hope of salvation. And Lord, I just pray for hearts to be softened right now. If they do not know you, I pray that today is the day of their salvation. That they give their lives to you. That they understand that you love them so much that you sent your Son to die a cruel death on the cross and that he rose again. That whosoever places their faith in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I pray that they see and know you personally. In Jesus' name, amen. 24 and 12, I entitled this Walking with Jesus, because sometimes in our lives we do not really, we say we're Christians, but we are walking in our own strength, in our own flesh, in our own power, in our own might. And in Luke in 24, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, just after he is crucified 3 days later, he appears to two men walking on this road to Emmaus. Emmaus is 7 miles in the opposite direction of Jerusalem. They were going away from Jerusalem. And these two disciples, a disciple is a follower of Jesus. And how to become a disciple? If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, who is this Jesus? Because all of us eventually in our lives have to answer that question. Who is Jesus? Who do you believe in is Jesus? Is Jesus Lord? Or is he just a prophet? Or a good teacher? Or some mythological man that he wrote about in this fairy tale called the Bible. John the Baptist called Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the spotless Lamb of God." Because we all need a Savior. Whether we realize it or not, we need a Savior. We need something, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Maybe you've heard that before. And you become kind of, oh, I've heard this before. Okay, whatever. But all have sinned. Sin is the bad things that we do, because God is completely holy and completely loving. And he cannot look upon sin. But Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us, thus while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And on Friday, as we thought about the crucifixion, the cruel and punishment and amazing torture and death that Jesus went through for you and for me, for our sins, the scourging with the flagellum, a Roman cruel torture instrument of death, a cattails with leaded balls on the end of the thongs and glass embedded in that, and the scourging where most people would not survive the scourging, and then to be nailed on a cross for us, publicly humiliated, and to be spat upon and mocked, and this man was innocent. Some great love was demonstrated through this one man. This man, Jesus Christ, this God-man. And he demonstrated his love for us by raising again. We must at one point believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We trust in Him as Lord and life and receive the gift of eternal life, and we're in heaven and we get the forgiveness of our sins. And at one point in your life, you must do that before you breathe your last breath. Because there's two options where you spend eternity. First one is in heaven by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the other one is in hell, eternally separated from Him. Don't miss the opportunity before it's too late. These two disciples, as they're walking along, had witnessed the crucifixion. They thought Jesus would come as this conquering Messiah, this conquering King, and take over and destroy the Roman, lead a revolt and destroy the Roman occupation. But they're walking along, and its time was around noon on Sunday, and they're discussing the events that take place. Now, 24 and 13, now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know Him. Most likely, they're walking along and they're discussing what just happened. They were confused. They were scared. They didn't have the insight. They were going and they were down. And guess who shows up? Our Lord Jesus. Jesus always shows up. He's always there. And in our lives, when we're confused, when we try to deal with the things that go on in our lives, it is amazing. We wonder what's going on in life, and Jesus is always around. He's in our midst. He's in the midst of our disciples. He's in the midst of our problems. And He's in the midst of anything that goes on in our lives. And all times, we try and do things in our own strength or with the wisdom of the world. And when we completely trust in Jesus, He gives us the strength and the power and the might and the comfort and the peace to get through life and life's problems. He can comfort the one who has lost a loved one. He can comfort and provide for the people who have lost a job. He's the one who helps us face our fears and our doubts. And He's the one who is with us when people are facing surgeries. He's the one who is with us when we are dealing with rebellious children, or the one who deals with us when we are worried and anxious. He is a great comforter. He is there to teach and to guide and to direct and to give us hope. And without Jesus, frankly, I don't understand how people can make it in this busy, crazy, amazing world. But today, when we celebrate the risen Savior, we know there is hope. The hope of eternal life, the hope that we have that our sins are forgiven, the hope we have in Jesus, because this is not all it is. There's eternity. And they were talking about Jesus. And isn't it amazing in our life, when we start talking about Jesus, He opens up doors to ministry, or He opens up opportunities to talk, or He shows up. How much time do we spend talking about Jesus? What do we talk about when we first meet people? How are you doing? How about those Broncos? What about the weather? Oh, the weather. You know, all that kind of stuff. It's just our human reaction. We're going to get to go know deeper, know each other deeper, but what's the first thing we talk about? Common things. Just to break the ice. We can talk about sports, or sometimes we talk about government, politics. Sometimes we want to talk about ourselves all the time. This is what I'm doing. Great. Sometimes we just talk about our dreams. Do you spend time discussing and talking about Jesus? As brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what we're called to do. Hey, what's Jesus doing in your life? How's your walk, brother? What are you struggling with? How can I pray for you? I was reading in this passage, and I don't quite understand it. Do you have any insights? Talking about Jesus. When we talk about Jesus, things just happen. As I mentioned before the service, the missionaries in the Ukraine, when they got to Germany, distraught, upset, they went to Chipotle. Germany has Chipotles, okay? Right? America spread their culture all around the world, right? Through McDonald's, Coca-Cola, and now Chipotle. But they're there, and for you know, out of the blue, someone just comes up, they start talking about what's happened in the Ukraine, what's going on in their life, and it turned out to be a Christian person, and he said, you know what, I just want to buy you and bless you and buy you dinner. Simple as that, right? Things happen when you start talking about Jesus. It opens up doors. And Jesus is like that. He's always there. And these two guys are talking about Jesus, but I'm sure they're walking along and they're distraught. And you know what? They're probably walking along like, oh man, look what I just saw. Eyes are on the ground, kind of looking and just mumbling through. We can do that. The big Eeyore cloud on your head, eyes down, not looking up, not looking around. They were kept from recognizing him. At this time, I believe they're too focused on the disappointment, probably on the shock of the events they witnessed, and their whole world was suddenly turned upside down. And also, notice that they're going away from Jerusalem. They're going in the wrong direction, away from the fellowship of the believers in Jerusalem. And when our spirits are crushed because of frustrated plans or goals we have, that doors get shut, we need only also Christ, but we need the body of Christ. That's each other. That's you and me and each other who claim Christ as their Lord and Savior. We are not to be islands and separated, because our tendency is when something goes all wrong in our life is to be isolated. I can handle it myself. And we close our doors and we say, the world's too big, leave me alone. But the body is supposed to care for one another and love one another and bear one another's burdens. And maybe even in church situations, you have been hurt by other believers. We're called to forgive and move on and love and do the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord their God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, and love your neighbors as yourself. They're going away. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and says, and let us not consider one another to promote unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as so much the more as you see the day approaching. Christians come together to encourage, to strengthen one another, to pray for one another, to seek God's will, to grow in faith. We come together to sing His praises and worship. We learn and we grow and we love one another and care for one another and we forgive one another and we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So get plugged in, whether it's this Calvary Chapel or another Calvary Chapel or another Bible-believing church, get plugged in so you have a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ and a meaningful relationship with each other. And it's amazing. That is what Jesus came to the earth for, so we can have salvation, so we can love Him, so we can have eternal life, but also we can have life and life abundantly. Doesn't mean that we're not going to go through hurts and trials and problems and stresses, but we can have life and life abundantly. Then that means we can have the support of each other to help encourage in time of need, and we can rejoice in time of joy. So we walk with Jesus and we walk with our neighbors. Now Jesus asks a question in 17. And He said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another? And as you walk and are sad. Then the one whose name was Cleophas answered and said to Him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which has happened these days? And He said to him, what things? Don't you love Jesus? He knows. He knows all things. But He's asking questions, right? He's going to ask you asking questions. He's asked questions to know, to figure out what's in your heart and what's in your mind. How you're going to respond. What things? Weren't you aware? What are you, daft? The news of the crucifixion spread rapidly. You know, and because people are leaving from the Passover. And Jesus wants them to talk to Him. And He wants you and I to talk to Him. And how do we talk to Him? That's called prayer. We spend our time in prayer. Some people think prayer should be just, Let's spend time where you have to have the great words and the flowing words. It's just a conversation with Jesus. He wants us to have a talk with him. Like here in the conversation, what thinks? He loves to listen to you. He loves that you should talk to him. And even though you know that he wrote your story, he knows how it's going to end out, he wants to see where you're at. How are you doing? Are you trusting me? And he's asking, you know, why you should be sad? And the answer is interesting, because he gets them to answer the things that get their mind off of the crucifixion and onto the hope. The hope. They give reasons. He gives them reasons of who he is. 19. And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers were delivered to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company, who arrived at the tomb early, astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. And certain to those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He was a prophet, a teacher, who taught the truth. He was mighty in word and teaching and indeed in miracles, performing miracles. He was crucified for your and my sin, and on the third day he rose again, and some women went and saw him first at the tomb, but they didn't find him, and he'd seen by angels in the tomb that he was alive, and they presented it, and they were the answers to it. And Jesus comes back, and he says, don't you understand? Don't you get it? Don't you see me? And again, he answers with a question in 25. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. Don't you understand? The tomb is empty. You heard it. You heard the testimony of the women and the disciples, and you're not looking around. You're still wallowing in your sadness. You're still trying to figure things out in your own way. By faith, you are saved. And Jesus, being the good teacher, started explaining what was said in the scriptures concerning him. And when you read the scriptures, it points to Jesus as the Messiah in the Old Testament and the New Testament. When you teach classes, or when you're reading his word, or when you're in children's church, or in Bible study in men's group or women's group that we have here, it's all about Jesus. He used the scriptures to teach, and we in our lives have a guideline, the scriptures, to live our lives, to find answers to questions, to find hope in Jesus. And whether you teach in youth group, as I said, or children's group, or men's group, or ladies' Bible study, or a personal study, look to Jesus. He's a reason for our hope. Study the scriptures. Put them in your head. Memorize some. And as Jesus noticed, he probably didn't pull out a scroll out of his robe, of course. He knew the scriptures, right? Here are the scriptures. This is what it says. And he taught them. Now, this Bible is so amazing that for centuries people have studied it. For centuries people have died for it. For centuries people have been thrown in jail, even today, for actually having the Bible. There's got to be something amazing about it, right? So please, treat this not as just another book to put on a shelf. Stacked up, gathering dust. Treat it as his God's holy word. Spend time with him. Know it. Study it. And there he says, our foolish ones, slow of heart. And beginning with Moses, he told them all the things concerning himself. Now, that could have probably, in my mind, it says it's a miracle, because to teach all the things about Jesus would take many lifetimes. But he probably opened their mind and their hearts and said, this is it. Don't foolish ones, gently rebuking him. In 28, then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated, and he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Abide with us. Hospitality. Opening up the door. Come on in. Practice hospitality. Come and have a meal with me. Now it came to pass, he sat at the table with them, and he took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? They finally understood at the meal. How can a person who is dead eat? Do I need sustenance? He's alive. Jesus is alive. And their hearts were opened. He is risen with joy and on fire. Did not our hearts burn because when he talked about the scriptures? Did not our heart burn when he talked to us, when he was eating with us? Hopefully, as a believer, your heart is burning day by day, moment by moment, because he is alive. And our passion is for Jesus. Because he is alive, and his resurrection gives us hope to those who trust in him. He's not a myth. He's not a legend. He is the all-powerful Creator God who loved us so much that he suffered and died for our sins. He rose to show the world the hope of eternal life in heaven. Death has been conquered, and by his grace we are saved and our sins are forgiven. It's a free gift from God. So when we truly believe the good news that Jesus Christ is alive and he rose from the grave, we can cast all our cares upon him, all our worries, all our troubles. And when we spend time with him, reading his word, praying, hanging out with other believers, we tell him, Lord Jesus, you're so great. What do you want me to do? How you are so good to me. You are my strength, even though when I am weak. You're my king. You are my rock. You are my fortress. In you I will trust. Lord, I'm so glad you are in my life, guiding and directing and providing for me and caring for me and loving me. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Father, you are great. We celebrate this Resurrection Sunday, because it sets apart you, Lord Jesus, from any other God.